Today is the 30th of July, 2012. We are in Martinus Center Klint, Nykøbing Sjælland, and I'm going to give a lecture with the title Martinus and World Morality. I've chosen the title because my second book has the title Martinus and the New World Morality. And the book has been published in Danish, Swedish, Russian and Esperanto, and the book will also be published in English in year 2014. But now we are going to hear about the future of planet Earth, Martinus, and the new world morality. Here we go.
Welcome to this lecture. Tonight I would like to talk about Martinus and the new world morality. To put it very short, in a way, the new morality is a Christ moral. And you could say that is not so new. But Martinus has explained that we are living in two big epoch. He's talking about the time of Moses, the Moses epoch, and the Christ epoch. And in the Moses epoch, Moses, he was a prophet of the marriage, of the family, of the group, of the nation. He was a spokesman for partial love, because you prefer to help your family, your group, your country, your people of the same nation. But Christ, he was totally impartial. It was not about loving one group or one people, one nation. Martinus talks about one person can be egoistic, and a person can be altruistic, practice neighborly love. In the same way, a nation can also be egoistic. So nationalism, that is the egoism of a nation. And internationalism, that is the neighborly love of the nation. So very often you think that nationalism is a very good thing. And when I was a little boy and went to school, nationalism was a very, very good thing. But that belongs to the old period with Moses, and the new period, that is about neighborly love. And Jesus, he was not the prophet of the marriage. He was totally impartial. And maybe it's difficult to understand, but in the future, we will love everybody just as high as we now are loving our partner. So we will become totally impartial. And in a way, it is impossible to practice neighborly love today because we don't have the organic structure, because we are single-pole beings. Martinus thinks that the female pole is growing in men. In a way, a woman is growing inside the men. And in the same way, there is a man inside the women, and the masculine pole or a man is growing in the feminine being. And you have to be double-poled in order to practice neighborly love. You have to have ears in order to hear, but then you also have to be double-poled in order to practice neighborly love. As long as you are single-poled, you are partial. Then you prefer the opposite sex to your own sex. I think you could say that in politics you have the conservative wing, all the nationalistic parties. They actually have their philosophy based on the Old Testament. That belongs to the Moses epoch. Whereas the left-wing parties, they are basing their politics actually on the New Testament. The right wing is based on the Old Testament and Moses. And the left wing is based on Jesus. Up today, Christianity is a religion, but Christianity will turn into a science when the eternal analysis, when eternity enters Christianity, turns from a religion into the world science. And what Jesus preached, that was the truth, but it is now with Martinus' spiritual science that Christianity will turn into a science. What would that say that eternity is entering Christianity? That means eternal life and reincarnation and the law of karma. Martinus, he says, my mission is to show that it pays to be good. It pays to be good. I say, you will profit from being good. Today people are very clever. They are only doing things that pay. If it looks as if you should buy gold, or you should go to the stock market, or you should buy houses, or they are people, they are only doing things that pays. But then, so the only thing that pays, that is to practice neighborly love. Sometimes I'm talking about not the Bank of America, Bank of England, but the Bank of Karma. If you become a multimillionaire or billionaire in this lifetime, and if you believe in reincarnation, you could ask yourself, how can I transfer my money to my next life? But maybe the people who are inheriting you are taking all the money. When you are born again, you've forgotten the number of your account. They have used all your money. How can you transfer your money to the next incarnation? Give it away. Give it away. Then you invest all your money in the karma bank. I mean, that's really logical. And that is also the logical basis for practicing neighborly love. We can say that planet Earth has a limited amount of resources. And then if we divide it with all people, you have a right to a certain amount of these resources. But if one person takes too many of the resources, or too much of the resources, there will be less for the others. That would be a minus for the others. So that in a way is illogical. And according to the law of karma, when you are taking something from others, you are taking it from yourself. When you make others lose something, you are losing it yourself. Or more practically, if you are beating up others, you are beating up yourself. All that you are doing to others, you are doing to yourself. But nowadays, we live in a system where we have social welfare, we have democracies with a social welfare, but we also have a private capitalism. So we have an economic system with two sides. There is a private interest in the capitalism, and then there is the government, the state, that is making a social welfare system, and that represents all people. When one person takes too much, that is a minus for the others. And the jungle, the strongest has the right to take from the weaker one. But in the future, it shall be the right that has the power. That is, the justice shall govern the world and not the power. And also, we have a kind of jungle, law of jungle in our economy, because if you are a capitalist and have a lot of money, you can earn even more money, and that will produce more and more poor people. So it is not justice. It's not just. We have a system with laws, and in all states, the same laws. We have the same laws in the beginning, because the meaning of the law is to protect the weak ones. The first law is almost, thou shall not kill. You are not allowed to steal, because there are some people, they cannot protect themselves. Then they have to be protected by the state. But today, you cannot protect people against being misused economically. And Martinus says that when people can earn money without doing a work for it, actually they are stealing from others. 500 hours to produce this piano, and I sold it for a value of 1,000 hours. Then I earned 500 hours without doing a job. Then somewhere out in the system, there are a man who is working 1,000 hours, but he's only paid 500 hours. You don't think about it normally. Whenever a person gets some money without having working for it, there is somebody out there who works without getting paid for it. But for the moment being, the capitalistic system is absolutely the best system, because we are on this level in the evolution. But Martinus tells us that we cannot change society through politics. Once Martinus was asked, why don't you go into policy? You know how to make the things the right way. But Martinus answered promptly, you can't change people with politics. Also, he says, you can't change the world. You can only change yourself. But, for example, in Soviet Union and China, they have tried to make a communistic system. And Martinus thinks that's a good exercise. But real communism should also be democracy. But in Soviet Union, it turned out to be a dictatorship. But also in the United States, they say they have democracy, but that's also a dictatorship. That's a dictatorship of capitalism, those who have the money. So in the United States or Europe, it's not pure democracy. It's also the dictatorship of the money. So you could put it both ways. True communism shall be a democracy, and a democracy shall also be pure communism. And in the fourth volume of Liebe's book, Martinus says, but Jesus, he was the first and real and the highest communist of the world. And the New Testament is the book of communism.
What I heard about the Soviet Union was they have these big collectives, kolkhoz or collectives, and then people should work for the community. But when they came home, they had the opportunity to work in their own garden and sell their products on the market. But people were very eager to work in their own garden and sell their own products in the market. And they didn't care about the work in the collective. That only shows that then people are not mature for a new system. And Martinus, with some humor, also explains, in the future, when you negotiate with your boss, with the company, about your salary, normally you say, I want a higher salary, I want to earn more money. But in the future, the person say, no, that's too much, that's high, that salary is too high for me, I can't take that money, that much money I want. So you need, it's the fight, because a Christ being do not want to exploit others. They would rather give than take. But if you want a salary that is higher, what you are worth are actually, then you are taking from others. And now we have also the Olympic Games. Martinus says in the future, when there is a race, the first one coming to the goal, he stops and thinks, no, it's better that the other wins. And then he stops and then he invites the others to pass. Yeah, then they stop and say, you go first. No, you go first. Then there would be no idea of sport. So in that way, all these championships will die out because people get another attitude. So if we should change the world into a better world, you cannot change the world by politics or by changing others. You have to work with yourself, and that really takes a big change. So you really have to change your own inner life, your own heart, into another attitude towards the Christ attitude, that it's better to give than to take. It's better to serve than be served. Some 100 years ago, you were a very noble man if you had 100 servants. But if you had 200 servants, you were even nobler. But Martinus says the noblest men today are those who are serving others. Because they are really high developed, because they have understood this principle of Christ. And in connection with the new world morality, Martinus explains how we are going towards a world government. And then all countries have to work together. And we have to divide between us all the resources of planet Earth. If there is oil in the underground in a country, this country will become very rich. If there are gold or coal, then it belongs to these. But Martinus thinks that the resources of the earth ought to belong to the whole humanity. And it is only when you can monopolize these things, you can own them and the price is very high. I know Denmark have also found some oil, so we have also earned money this way. But Martinus says that when we find gold oil, coal in the earth. We have not produced any, we have not done any work to produce these products. They have been created by nature. But it takes some work to get it out, to pump up the oil or dig out the minerals. And of course, we should be paid for the work we are doing. And very interestingly, Martinus says, if a company could monopolize the oxygen in the air, we had to pay every time we should breathe. And of course, you wouldn't pay that much, but then you are dying, so you would pay anyway. Or imagine if a company in Japan could monopolize the sunshine. Dear friends, if you want some sunshine, you have to pay money to our company. So in that way, you can see it's ridiculous in a way that we have to pay for the resources of planet Earth. But we do pay when it is possible to monopolize them. But in the future, with pure Christianity, everybody has the same right to all the resources of the whole planet. We shall divide it. And Martinus thinks in the future there shall not be private capitalism. You should not have private possessions. It should be the world government that possess all resources. Of course, you can have your own four shirts and your own four shoes, of course. But you don't have to own your houses, to own the land, to own all these things. Everything is owned by the world government. And today we have some, what is called, valuta. We have euros, we have dollars, we have yen and so on. But in the future, we will also have a common valuta. And that is a human labor hour. That would be, and money will not exist. You can only pay with work you have done yourself. So now we also have a credit card. So in the future, we also have such a life credit card, a life passport. And then it is registered every time when you have worked an hour for the world state. And whenever you pay, you can only pay with your own hours. You cannot inherit hours. You cannot gain on the stock market. You cannot, in that way, you cannot exploit others. You cannot steal the value of the working hours of other people. And there is also a lot of the professions that will die out. Martinus thinks that after the coming world wars, maybe in 100 or 200 years, all countries on planet Earth will agree on a world police. So it will be forbidden to have a national army. All countries shall pay a little amount to the world government, and they shall have a world police. So then we don't have to pay so much salary to all the soldiers. And I think here in Denmark, at least, you can have there's so many different mobile phone companies, and they are making advertising and so on. And also, if you want to see television, there's so many different companies and so on. It was much more practical if the world government said, it is free for everybody to telephone, it's free for everybody to see all television programs. There's so many people who are working with advertisement, with bookkeeping, with competition and so on. In a way, it's wasted. You don't produce things of value. He also thinks that if you want, it's a political decision. You say everybody should have a car and a house and a mobile phone, a computer and so on. How many people are we? How many hours will it take to produce these things? And then they just simply produce the things that are needed. Today we have a strange economical system. If you cannot sell your products, if there's no growth, it's a threat against the economy. But it will not be in that way in the future. You just decide we want all these goods, and then we produce them. And there will be no economical crisis. But it is because it is still governed by the law of jungle. Martinus also says, if there is lack, if there is a very little of one thing, the price goes up. And if you really need a thing hard, and there's very few of these things, the price go up and go up and go up. And that reminds very much about robbery or hold up the money or your life, because sometimes you pay just because there's little, a few things of this good. So that's a wrong economical system. And the Martina thinks that in the future, children in school will be educated according to their interests, and they will get their work where they're interested and where they have their talents. And everybody will more or less work in his hobby. And a lot of useless, that was what I would say. Now there is a lot of people who are selling television sets, they are selling cars, they are selling all kinds of things. But the things don't become better in the store. But in the future, they will just be produced at the plant, and then it will be delivered directly to the person who should use it. There will be no commerce. That is also wasted. And Martina says, in the future, we will only have to work two days per week, maybe only 2 hours per week, and then we will have a lot of spare time or free time where we can study in our interest. We can work with our hobby, and we can learn to paint and play music, and we can develop all our talents. In a way, we shall all become geniuses. In a way, in all kinds of arts and science and invention and so on. So we have a very brilliant time when we start to divide things amongst us. And that is what Martinus can explain in a logical way with reincarnation, eternal life and karma put into Christianity. But it's not only the economical system that belongs to this new world morality. Martinus has told a lot about vegetarianism and health. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is nothing about love to animals and love to microcosmos. Martinus explains that human beings are creating fate in three important areas. We create fate in our relationship to other human beings, in our relationship to the animals, and in our relationship to microcosmos. And there are people who are very kind to other people. They might even be kind to animals and have become vegetarians. But anyway, they are unhappy and sick and ill. And that is because they have overlooked the third area, which is love to microcosmos. And Jesus talked about neighborly love, but people normally thought that neighborly love is only other human beings in our own religion, in our own country maybe. But Martinus has expanded the notion of neighborly love. The animals are also our neighbors. The organs, the cells, the molecules, the atoms are also our neighbors. And planet Earth is also our neighbor. And that is something new with the Third Testament. Martinus wrote the Book of Life. It was published in 1932. And then the question is, what was the next that Martinus wrote? You would suppose maybe the second volume of Livets Bog. But it turned out to be The Ideal Food and the Bout About Funeral. And in Danish, Bisættelse. And these two books are two small major works on the theme love to microcosmos. So the new world redeemer, Martinus, he felt when he came here to Earth, it was very, very important to teach people about vegetarianism and love to microcosmos. And in this funeral rites, or sepulchres, I don't know what it will be translated. It's not translated into English yet. But it is also about cremation of the corpse. Martinus thinks that when we die, the organs and the cells are also dying. But there are a micro life under the level of the cells. Martinus said that he could see there was an aura around the corpses, an astral radiation. So he was convinced that there was still some animal life in the corpse under the level of the cells. And then they should be protected against cremation, because that was in the Middle Ages, we burned witches on fire. And that was a cruel thing. But Martino think it's just as cruel to burn a corpse, to cremate a corpse, if we could see what happened in microcosmos. But also Martino thinks that when we are killing and eating animals, it has a very, very severe consequence. And there is two consequences. One consequence, when we eat meat, we are the cause to the killings of animals. And according to the law of karma, we are not protected against accidents. So if you want to be protected against accidents, car accidents, or in the home where you work, or if you want to be protected against war, you should become a vegetarian, because you are not protected. But there is also another, Martinus claims that it is not good for our health to eat meat. And it is, meat is healthy food for tigers and lions and dogs and cats, but it's not healthy food for highly developed people today. You could read more about it in The Ideal Food and also the fourth volume of The Eternal World Picture. So you have to learn to practice love to these animals. But even if you're kind to animals and kind to other people, you can become very sick and ill and depressed. And you can abuse your microcosmos by taking in toxic substances. Martinus thinks it's alcohol, for example, is very toxic to the nervous system, to the brain. But you are also killing sort of micro beings, or you are poisoning micro beings. So you are giving them a very poor life. And there is also another law of karma which tells the way you treat your microcosmos, in the same way you are treated by your macrocosmic being. So if I am having angry thoughts or I'm depressed, then my thoughts create a bad climate in my body. But then you can also live on a part on the earth where there is a bad climate, where the planet Earth is treating you in a bad way. Martinus explains, there are planets in the universe where the climate is much better than on our planet. But we are too primitive to incarnate there. But there are higher developed people who deserve a good climate, and they are incarnating on these better planets. But there are also other planets where the climate is much worse than here. And we cannot incarnate on these planets because we are too highly developed. So we will incarnate on a planet that corresponds our level in evolution. But normally we say what you are doing to others, they are doing to you. But it's a very interesting karma relationship. What you are doing to your microcosmos, you will be treated in the same way as a micro individual. When the axis of the planet Earth turned, now there is 23 degrees. From and that means that we get cold winters and dark winters, and we get warm summers and long summers. Many animals and many human beings are dying during wintertime. And that means that the micro-individuals have a bad climate. Or in a way, planet Earth is treating its micro-individuals in a bad way. And Martinus says, once upon a time, maybe 65 million years ago, or that is a man called Velikovsky who has written about some catastrophes, but it might be some 65 million years ago, the planet Earth was angry with another planet. And then this created a bad karma. And when the karma came back, the axis was turned a little bit over. So, and this was a handicap. Martinus says, in a way, that the planet Earth is a little bit handicapped. If it hurts in my knee, I'm a little bit handicapped because my micro-individuals are not doing well. But if there are some human beings here on the planet Earth that are not doing well because of winter, and it's cold, then also the planet Earth is thought of a little bit invalid or handicapped. But Martinus said the people who lived in the cold and dark regions, they had to protect themselves against darkness, the chill, it's cold, against wild animals. So they had developed very fast. So some of the most developed people on this planet Earth, live in the northern regions because they had to fight against the nature. And now we have wonderful houses with heating and light and insulation and so on. So now we have overcome the problems. So Martinus says now the planet Earth sort of has overcome this problem. But Martinus writes very much about that we can treat our microcosmos bad in two ways. And one way is through narcotics, alcohol, tobacco. That is, you're poisoning your microcosmos. And you're not only destroying this body you have in this reincarnation. Because if you damage your lungs by smoking in this lifetime, you will be born with weaker lungs in the next lifetime. If you are eating too much in this lifetime, you will have a tendency to be overweight in next lifetime. And if you are drinking too much and destroying your brain, you will be born with a weaker brain in the coming lives. So if you have some bad habits, you take the result with you in the coming lives. So if a child is born with an illness, it's because this person has lived in a wrong way in the previous lives. But most important is that when you are thinking in a wrong way, you are also creating a bad climate for your micro-individuals. And now we have published a new simple book, number 5, or The Eternal World Picture number 5. It is based on symbols that Martinus drew many years ago, and he explained them on in lectures that were taped, and now it has been published. And this whole book is only about illness and healing in cosmic light. And Martinus explains that the cause of all illness is that you are thinking in a wrong way, or the cause to all sickness is lack of neighborly love. So sometimes he write about the cause of a few illnesses, but he says it's just in general. But if you think life is wonderful, everything is very good, I'm grateful, I like the life, you have a good relationship to God, to other people, to the whole world, you are pleased, satisfied, grateful, then you will be very healthy. But if in some way you are unsatisfied with life, it can be other persons, it can be conditions, it can be climate, politicians, or whatever. But whenever you are unsatisfied, you are not pleased, there's something wrong, you have some thoughts that will, in the long run, cause some or the other illness. The different thoughts have different wavelengths. All living beings, animals, plants, human beings, have their own wavelength, but also all the organs have their own wavelength. Every thought has its own wavelength, and every organ has its own wavelength, which means that specific thoughts are having an effect on specific organs. And that is Martinus' explanation for why, when you get this and this illness, you have been thinking in this and this wrong way, and if you think in another wrong way, that will have an effect on another organ. But it's also interesting that Martinus says the best cure, the best healing, that is pure Christianity or neighborly love. Pure Christianity or neighborly love. And pure Christianity, that is not that you are a member of a Christian sect. For Martinus, to be a Christian is to behave in the same way as Christ. When you're behaving like Christ, then you are a Christian. And of course, if you are behaving in this way, you'll become very healthy. And at the end of the book, Martinus writes a little bit about the fact that not only Jesus could heal in a miraculous way, we will all learn to heal in a miraculous way. We will, at the end, we will learn to control our thoughts so much that we can heal. Because why are we getting ill? Because we cannot control our thoughts in the right way. But then the cure is to control your thoughts in the right way. And when you can control your thoughts in the right way, you can also heal. You can cure yourself and also others. But when we are talking about a new world morality, the theme, love to animals and love to microcosmos, is a big theme. You could also say that the animals should not be our slaves. And today, the animals are our slaves. Of course, when you directly eat them, but there is also many animals who have to work for human beings. And Martinus is talking also about milk and egg. When you are eating meat, you have to break down the organism of these beings. And that's a hard work for the organism. It's not so hard to take milk and eggs. And it can be good for the beginning vegetarian to start with these. You are not killing the cow, you are not killing the hen, and there is no cells in the milk, and normally maximum one cell in the eggs. So they are not so bad for the health. But then, of course, in order to produce milk, you have to have a cow. And here in Denmark, it's a cold land. So when the cow come into the stable in autumn, you just take an iron chain around the neck, and then you cannot move for half a year. I mean, that's also hard to treat animals in that way. So in many ways, our domestic animals are put into prison. Even if you don't kill them and eat them, they are living under their very poor conditions. Also, it's a very little theme, but once Martinus talked about vaccination, yeah, that sometimes you have to take it from serum from horses or rabbits. Also, if it is about women are putting all these things in their head, or cosmetics, yes. Then sometimes you're also testing these cosmetics on animals. So in a way, even if you may, for producing this for the vaccination or the cosmetics, also in natural science you have a lot of mice and other small animals. You are making experiments on animals. And yes, in a way, you also, when you have bees, you are taking their food and giving them some pure white sugar instead of, or you are stealing the wool. Or also, if you have you're riding on horses and so, and there are many different ways where you are treating the animals as slaves. And also, maybe I shouldn't mention it, because normally people get angry with me when I talk about dogs and cats, because of course people, they love their dogs and cats. But I mean, if you have a dog or a cat, you also put these animals into a prison, and they normally don't have their normal sexual life. They're castrated, or they get pills and so on in order not to reproduce. And if you have dogs and cats, you shouldn't turn them into vegetarians. They need meat. And if you have become a vegetarian yourself, then you should buy meat for your dogs and for your cats. And of course, it could be nice with pets, animals. You are caressing the animals. But I think that human beings should caress other human beings. Human beings should not caress animals. I wouldn't say it's a perversion, but I think it's pretty near. But I mean, if you should show love to plants, you shouldn't go to bed with plants. You could give them some water and some minerals. And if you love the animals, maybe you could give them some water or some food outside. You don't have to live so close to them. So I guess in the future that animals should not be our slaves. They should live freely in nature, and they should not. But of course, it has had a big importance for the animals in their evolution at this stage. It has had a big importance for human beings on this stage. But it doesn't belong to the future that we should have animals as slaves. That will also be a big theme in the new world morality. So these big areas, we shall make a world where everything is just, we shall live in peace and harmony, and we shall divide all the resources, and we shall treat the animals in a good way, and we should also treat our microcosmos. Another theme that I'm very eager about, that is an international language. Because in the future, we shall not have translations. What is the advantage by translations? Does the product become better? No. And here there is some three people who are working very hard, and they are having sweats on the front because I'm talking too much. But that would not have been necessary with this translation if we had a world language. And almost everybody in Denmark says that, oh, English is already a world language. English will become the world language. But Martinus guarantees that no national language will become the world language. In the future, we will have perfect human beings. And perfect human beings want a perfect language. Perfect human beings will not have a language with lots of exceptions, a lot of irregularities. For example, in English, one woman, two women. I can hear that one vowel has changed, but when you write it, it is the other one that has changed. And there's a lot of irregular things in all national languages. Only for that reason, no national language will become a world language, because they are imperfect. And Martinus says, we have a number system, and it's not with the Roman numbers, they didn't have a zero. But the number system we have nowadays with zero is perfect. You cannot improve it. Or should we put one number between 16 and 17, an extra number, then it would be better? Or should we take away 13, then the number system would be better? No, if you make any change in the number system, the result will be a catastrophe. It is perfect, you cannot change it. And at the end of Livets Bog, volume 3, Martinus writes that the number system has already become perfect, but the language has not yet become perfect, but is going to become perfect. And seen through my eyes, Esperanto is the perfect language, because it is mathematically, it is totally logical constructed. And another thing is that it is also a partial solution. If we select Chinese is the biggest language on earth, many would make complaints. They wouldn't like to learn Chinese. Others wouldn't like to learn Russian. Others wouldn't like to learn English. And if you see in history, how has a language become a world language? It's always through the power of the sword. Why did Latin become a big language? Because the Romans had the best armies. Why did the Spanish language become a world language? Because they had better swords than the South Americans. So, and English, they also had the best army. And in a way, it is the language of the most aggressive countries that have made these world languages. And Esperanto has also an inner idea, and that is also brothership and friendship and equality. And it has this inner idea, and everybody could meet at the same level. But I would say that English is a big advantage for Esperanto, because Esperanto uses the same Latin alphabet, and there is a lot of international words in the English language. So I don't fear the English language. But maybe a lot of people will have English as their second language. But in the end, people will have Esperanto as their first language. And many people think, oh, it's terrible, it's horrible that the Danish language should disappear, that English should disappear. But I think it's a fantastic vision that if you could talk to everybody, sometimes there is a Dane who is writing a good book or making a good song, but then there is only 5 million people who can understand what he has said. He might want that the whole world could understand him. Who wouldn't want that the whole world could understand me? And in the European Union, it cost so much money to translate from one language into another language. Or if you just look on a normal school, how big percentage of the teachers in the school are teaching languages? I don't know, but I get it's 15%. And it costs billions of kroner just to pay their salary and so on. But Martino thinks the idea is not only that we understand the same language as the second language, but the phenomenon of translation shall totally disappear, because there's so much wasted time with language teaching of languages and so on. But then the Russians say, oh, Pushkin, and German says Goethe, Schiller, and English people Shakespeare. But I guess these authors in 200, 300, 400, 500 years, they will be so old-fashioned that it wouldn't have any sense. So many people think it's a horror show to imagine that we only should have one language and all other languages should disappear. But we don't have to decide about it, because evolution grows totally from itself. It goes automatically. In Denmark, we had many dialects in earlier times, but now the dialects are dying out. And there are so many languages that are dying out naturally. I should also say that we have about 5,000 languages in the world. But a few months ago, Esperanto entered Google Translate. You know this translation machine in the internet, Google Translation? Esperanto entered as language number 64. And Esperanto is standing besides English. And everybody used English. Then they can't help seeing the name Esperanto. If it was Turkish or Uzbekish or something like that, you wouldn't see it. But English and Esperanto, they are neighbors. So that was a very, very big thing for the Esperanto movement, that Esperanto entered this translate. But you don't have to decide or make transition. Evolution follows its own laws, and gradually national languages will die out in the same way as dialects are dying out. Maybe there could be some minor improvements to Esperanto, I don't know, but maybe it could be a little bit more perfect. But Esperanto is sort of just as mathematically constructed as the number system. And it is an impartial solution, so it's the right solution of the language problem. I could maybe say something more, but instead I would say what I cannot say in this lecture. You have the chance to read in my book when it will be published in the future. Thank you for the interest.
In year 2016, my book, Martinus, Darwin and Intelligent Design, A New Theory of Evolution, was published in not less than 8 different languages. In 2 Scandinavian languages, Danish and Swedish, and into English and German, and then 2 Roman languages in French and Spanish, and into 2 Slavic languages, Croatian and Russian. My second book, Martinus and the New World Morality, is published in Danish and Swedish, in German and English, in Spanish and Russian, and language number 7 is the international language Esperanto. And in the book, there is 30 pages about Esperanto, because an international language also belongs to the new world morality. Please look for the books on Amazon.com and on oleterrelsen.dk. Thank you for your attention.